You're listening to The Big Show with Russick and Rose on the official home of your Calgary Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, live from Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Shout out to our man Randy in Calgary. His embarrassing song is this one, Borderline for Madonna. Once it's on, just starts singing away in the car. We're taking your text messages, 960-960 in the South Trail Hyundai text line. On Aaron Rodgers admitting yesterday on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM, saying he's a big Taylor Swift fan. What is the most embarrassing song, artist, group that you listen to that nobody in your life knows, but you'll tell us on the 960 text line, on the South Trail Hyundai text line? We're going to give hours to wrap up the show and wrap up the week after we do the Speargrass Golf Show.
You got some good ones.
Mine is super sappy, too. Mm. I'm maybe even second guessing myself how emotional this song is that I'm going to play.
I like it.
Yeah. Great stuff. Derek, you're back. Craig Conroy named the GM of the Calgary Flames this week, the ninth GM in franchise history. Is there anybody in your life you know who doesn't like this hire?
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there somewhere, but I really like the hire. I mean, the guy's paid his dues, played 16 seasons in the NHL, including parts of 9 with the Flames, has been in hockey operations for over a decade, spent 3 or 4 seasons, I'm not sure, as special assistant to the general manager. It reminds me of Dwight Schrute's title on The Office. Was it assistant to the regional manager?
Yes.
Or assistant regional manager, one of those two things. But and then the last 9 years as one of Brad Treloving's assistant general managers. So he knows the city inside out. He knows the team from top to bottom. He's got great relationships with everybody, including the owner, Murray Edwards, and president and CEO, John Bean, and coaches and the players. So I really like the hire. The guy has been a big part of the city on the ice and off the ice for a long time. And it's kind of cool to see a guy like that get this opportunity.
Now, you were in that press conference. Was there anything as far as the roster construction or the young players that maybe stood out to you?
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of things that stood out to me, and I really did appreciate how honest Craig Conroy was when talking about what happened last season and what's probably going to happen moving forward. A few of the things that jumped out to me were he talked about the importance of everybody being on the same page, the head coach and the general manager specifically. So he didn't say that the coach and the GM weren't on the same page last season, but I think it's pretty clear that they weren't, and it's safe to jump to that conclusion. I don't think that is going to be the case moving forward when they do name a head coach. I think it's really important for, you know, they don't have to agree on everything all the time, but you've got to be pulling on the rope in the same direction. So, you know, that's something that I thought really stood out from Tuesday's presser. Also, when he started talking about the construction of the team moving forward, specifically the core players who are going to be free agents, not this summer, but next summer, it did leave me wondering, and that's why I asked a follow-up question about it. It did leave me wondering if we might see
Sorry, we just lost you there. We might see what, Derek?
Your right as you gave the...
Yeah. Right when you were going to give us, you know, the meat and the sandwich, that makes no sense, you cut out there. All right, he's cut out. I love when technical stuff goes wrong.
Damn it!
You can't, like, you just can't help it.
What are you going to do?
Sometimes it's a janky connection. These things happen on live radio at its finest. That's what essentially what it is.
I believe it's raw live.
Live radio at its finest. Yep. Literally live radio.
Yeah. Pretty sharp, actually. It was pretty quick there, too.
It was quick. You really got to finger blast that board, though.
Okay.
Like, you really got to really...
There's been a couple references
you gotta,
on the show that are just...
You got to really hit it hard
right
on that board
field
back there. But, Derek faded out there. But roster construction is key, right? Because he clearly has a vision and knows what type of style he wants this team to play.
Yeah. As he should.
Isn't it refreshing that maybe the style of play is dictated by the general manager and not the head coach as much?
Yeah, like the only league that your head coach should really dictate that much, in my opinion, is the NFL.
Of course.
Apart from that, this is who you get. you have to make it work. You have to find a way to make it work rather than make these guys work the way you want them to.
Right. We want a team that's going to play a little more offensively, have a little more free-flowing style, and this is the coach I want to put in for that style.
And Jonathan Huberto, that's where he play. That's the type of system he plays well in, and you made a commitment to the guy.
Yeah.
You have. I know you don't have to bend to the players every beck and call, but at the same time, you probably want to create a system that is conducive to the player being able to succeed. You know, maybe keep him on his right side as well.
Can you think of a time like where a Flames player's had this much pressure on him heading into the season? Because it feels like everything's like, okay, Jonathan, we're going to do everything possible to make you Jonathan Huberto again. Like, even recently, is there a Flames player that you think will have as much pressure on them as Jonathan Huberto?
I'm just trying to think back to the last Johnny Gaudreau contract negotiation prior to this one. So that would have been the coming out of the 2015-16 year that he would have signed that.
Yeah.
He had 78 points in 79 games. It was his first kind of point per game season, and the Flames had just missed the playoffs. And we're trying to get back in. So maybe that, but even then, it doesn't feel
like
nearly like this.
Derek Wills, the voice of the Flames on Sportsnet 960, back on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Derek, I want to ask you that question. Everything feels like let's have the best possible opportunity for Jonathan Huberto to succeed next season. Does it feel like far and away he's got the most pressure on him out of anybody on this team next year?
I just spent the last 5 minutes talking to myself, not knowing that we'd have been disconnected. My dog was sitting here nodding at me with everything that I was saying.
Great points.
So he just turned 13 on Wednesday. But
wow, congrats.
Wow.
Fortunately,
it's a great run.
That a girl.
Yeah,
no
great run.
Me. I mean, you've got to get Jonathan Huberto back to being, if not a 115-point player, I think that might be difficult to do. He's got to be an elite player. You're paying him to be an elite player. He's going into year one of what is the biggest contract in the history of the franchise, an eight-year $84 million deal. That's $10.5 million per season, and you need him to be one of the top playmakers in the league, and I would say a point-a-game guy. If you can get 80 to 90 points out of Jonathan Huberto, I think that's the range that he needs to be in if he plays close to all 82 games. So I do wonder if I'm not saying they're going to hire a head coach just to get Jonathan Huberto going, but I do wonder if that's one of the things that's kind of in the back of their mind, bringing in a guy who maybe focuses more on the offensive side of things than the defensive side of things. And I don't think that was Daryl Sutter. He really thought this team needed to be a lot tighter defensively. And when they won the Pacific Division a couple of years ago, they certainly were. They played really well in front of their goaltenders. Last season, I know their goalies weren't great, not from start to finish at least, but I would also add that even though the team didn't give up a lot of shots on goal, when they did, they were almost always high-danger chances. And a lot of nights they left Jacob Markstrom and Dan Vladar out to dry. So, yeah, I do think that they've got to find a way to get Jonathan Huberto going. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Huberto next season because by making the coaching change, I think the Flames eliminated what was, at least on the outside looking in, the big excuse for him. But I also think year two is going to be easier than year one. I still think that he had a tough time wrapping his head around the fact that the Panthers traded him and didn't give him a long-term contract extension after he had a career year. Then you move from Florida to Alberta. You go from a Panthers team that tries to win 6-5 to a Flames team that tries to win 2-1. And there were a lot of adjustments that Jonathan Huberto had to make, and last season did not go well for him. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to succeed, and I think a lot of pressure on the Flames to put him in a position to succeed because, quite frankly, I don't think they did a great job of that last season.
One of the things that I heard Craig Conroy mention on one of his several interviews he's done over the course of the week was the need for another top six winger. It was something that even Brad Treliving talked about going into last season. They were unable to get it done. Is there a way that you see this team going out and getting another top six winger? Would it be by trade, free agency, if you've looked at that market? Or do you think that there's an internal option to kind of come in and give them a little bit more offense in their top six?
I think it would be a lot to ask from Matt Coronato, who's played in one NHL game, to suddenly jump into their top six. But you never know. It's happened before with college players who are a little bit older, a little bit more mature and usually a little bit more NHL ready than guys coming out of junior simply because they're older and more mature. But we'll have to wait and see. I could see the Flames making a trade, but here's what I'm wondering about, guys, and I'm not sure how much of my answer they got cut off you heard. I'm just thinking ahead to next summer and those seven pending UFAs, specifically six of them. So two of your top three centermen, and Elias Lindholm and Michael Backlund, and then your leading goal scorer and point producer, Tyler Toffoli. Those are the three forwards. And then three of your top five defensemen in Noah Hanifin, Chris Tanev, and Nikita Zadorov. Depending on what happens with those guys, Flames may or may not have a lot of holes to fill. But based on the roster that they have right now, I could see them trading, and I hate to single out a guy, but I just think they could get a ton in return for him. I could see them moving Noah Hanifin. I think there are a lot of teams around the league that would love to bring him in. He's a top two or at least top four guy who can certainly help you on the power play if you're a team that needs that type of player. And with Oliver Shillington coming back, you know, he proved a couple of years ago that he can play on the top four and play really well alongside of Chris Tanev. So if you need to add a top six or middle six forward, ideally right shot, right winger who can score, we always seem to come back to that. I think Noah Hanifin could be an important part in bringing that type of player in. But depending on what happens with these pending UFAs next summer, you might have a bunch of holes to fill. Right now, I think that's the one thing that I'd love to see the Flames add, another right shot, right winger for their top six or nine. But priorities could change depending on what happens with these guys who we're all wondering about who are free agents next summer.
Another thing that Craig Conroy talked about was inserting more youth into his roster, into the core, kind of turning it over. And I think immediately people think of Pelche. They think of Dustin Wolf. They think of Matt Coronato. Is there anybody else that you think could kind of work their way into that conversation as far as inserting some youth into the lineup?
Connor Zeri would be another name. I actually thought he had a pretty good training camp and preseason last year. But as Craig Conroy said on Tuesday in his press conference, the guys are going to have to earn these jobs. They're not just going to be given to them. Now, I do think they're going to have more of an opportunity to earn a job under the new head coach than they had under the old head coach. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I just think that's the way it's going to be. With Daryl Sutter, young players really had to prove themselves. And I think that worked out really well in some cases and maybe not so well in other cases. But I do think the Flames have to infuse some youth into their lineup for a couple of different reasons. Look at the energy that Jacob Pelche brought to the team. And to a lesser extent, even though you could argue he played a bigger role, look at how much Connor or Walker Dewar helped the Flames' fourth line down the stretch. Now, I think those are two really good examples. So you can, I think, pen in Walker Dewar to be a full-time NHLer. You can probably pencil in Jacob Pelche to be a full-time NHLer. I do wonder about Matt Coronato. I didn't like his chances to make the team coming out of training camp with Daryl Sutter as the head coach. We'll have to wait and see who the Flames hire, but I like his chances more now than I did about a month ago. And then Connor Zeri. Again, I thought he had a good training camp in preseason, was one of the better younger players. I'm told that he took a step playing for the Calgary Wranglers in the AHL last season. So he would be another guy to watch out for. But I would be really surprised if the Flames' bottom six didn't have some younger players in it in 23-24 than it did in 22-23.
Derek, our pal Julian McKenzie on his mailbox in his piece for The Athletic kind of threw out the idea of potentially trading Elias Lindholm to the Columbus Blue Jackets for the third overall pick in this next month's draft. That's something that potentially could happen with obviously the Johnny Gaudreau connection there. And if Columbus can sign him to an extension, Aaron Portsline was saying on that article that that would be something that the Columbus Blue Jackets would absolutely explore. Would that be something you'd be interested in doing?
I don't want to trade Elias Lindholm. I want to build around Elias Lindholm. But if he told Craig Conroy that he is not open to signing a long-term extension and you have to trade him, then that would be the type of return that I would be looking for. He is an elite two-way centerman, one of the best in the league. Another team that I wonder about with Elias Lindholm, if the Flames have to trade him, because clearly they don't want to trade him, but if they have to, What about the Boston Bruins, guys? When you think about replacements for Patrice Bergeron, is there a better one in the league than Elias Lindholm?
Okay, but what are you getting back?
Yeah, that would be my next question. What do you want back from Boston?
That's a great question. It would probably be futures, and I'm not sure that the Bruins, they would probably have to be a combination of good roster player or players and some sort of futures. And it would be tough for them to match that third overall pick that the Blue Jackets own. But I just think that, again, I would love to see the Flames sign Lindholm to a 7 or 8 year extension. But if he says that he's not open to that and they have to trade him, getting the third overall pick, you're probably getting a player who can help you, if not right away, then pretty quickly. But a player who's not going to be at the level that Elias Lindholm is at. Now, you do have depth down the middle, but that would put some pressure on you to sign Michael Backlund to an extension, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. You've got Nazem Kadri locked up for the next 6 years, so you've got a guy who can play top six or at least top 9 minutes, and he should be top six, let's be honest. But yeah, that's the type of return that I would be looking for, but I would much rather see the Flames sign Lindholm to an extension than be put in a position to trade him.
Or like you do, but I think if it's for the third overall pick, I think you do it in a heartbeat. I think you have to do it.
Boston doesn't
you
have.
You can wrap your head around that for sure.
Yeah. I think it'd be super interesting. And even we had Jason Bukala on earlier, and he goes, yeah, if the Flames could potentially do that deal, Leo Carlson could be a franchise-changing centerman for the Calgary Flames too. A big body who is a pass-first guy. And hey, pair him with Matt Coronato. Who knows? Maybe those dudes can weave some magic here in Calgary for the next.
Put Pelletier on the other wing.
Franchise history.
Pardon me.
Which that would be the highest pick in franchise history.
Yep.
Third overall.
Yep.
Sam Bennett at fourth overall is the highest pick the Flames have ever had. And you talk about the Oilers and getting the first overall pick is one thing, but getting it in the years that they have outside of when they took Nail Yakupov, you got to get lucky. And the Flames have never had a pick higher than four. And that makes it tough to bring in these generational guys. You've got to, Johnny Gaudreau, you could argue, I wouldn't say he was generational, but I think you could call him a franchise player. But, he's a player that did not go in the first, second, or third rounds. So, yeah, you got to kind of get lucky that way, too.
How should Flames fans feel if Matthew Tkachuk lifts the Stanley Cup in a couple weeks?
I'm wondering how I'm going to feel if that happens, and I think there's a really good chance that it's going to happen. The crazy thing, George, he wasn't very good for the Flames in the playoffs over the years. I thought he was better last season than in previous seasons, but when the Flames drafted him sixth overall in 2016, just looking at his history and his makeup, I thought the way Matthew Tkachuk was wired, he would be a better playoff player than a regular season player. And that was not the case with the Flames, but clearly that's been the case this season with the Panthers. If the season ended today, I don't think there's any question that he would win the Conn Smythe. And I know some people suggest that Sergei Bobrovsky would, but he wasn't even their goaltender to start the playoffs. So for me, it's Matthew Tkachuk, especially with all the big goals that he scored. But you know what? He basically said he didn't want to stay in Calgary, didn't want to be a member of the Flames organization. So I still think that Brad Treleaven got a really good return for him, which I think will look better next season than it did last season or this season. But that might be tough for some people to swallow. But the bottom line is, it's not like the Flames said, we're going to trade Matthew Tkachuk because we don't want him to be part of this organization moving forward. He said he didn't want to be here moving forward, so they had to trade him. So hopefully that makes it easier for people to swallow.
Derek, we had some hiccups technically, but I think we got it done. So we're going to play out with this.
We're going to ride it like the wind.
Turn it up a little bit, Alex. He's the voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet 960. Derek Wills, terrific selection on the song. Enjoy your pina colada listening to your yacht rock radio.
Everybody ride into the weekend like the wind, and have a great weekend.
Make sure you have your moccasins with no socks. Obviously, no socks. Your deck shoes,
no
your
socks.
Boat shoes. No shoes, no socks. For sure. Thanks, pal. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, guys. Have a good one.
There's Derek Wills. Turn it up. This is good. On the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Using the same secret recipe since 1975. Did you know that? Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Takeout or delivery at 403-248-3344. Speargrass Golf Show straight ahead. You got a gaming trivia question for us, Alex?
Yeah, I do. You ready for it?
I am ready. We are giving away weekend passes, a 4-pack of weekend passes to GameCon, which is the largest gaming conference in Western Canada. Goes down June 23rd to the 25th down at the BMO Center. What do you got for us?
I want to know today, what was the original name of Mario? The very famous video game character. He had a name.
A different name?
An original name.
Earl?
Yeah. Not quite.
Archibald?
Was it like Francois? Like he was French instead of Italian and they had to pivot?
Ooh. Rudiger?
Not a bad idea.
Rudiger?
Rudiger.
Seven?
Seven.
Apple?
Yeah. Pete?
Nevaeh?
Because Pete's a plumber.
Okay.
Okay.
960, 960, name and location for that question that Alex just gave you to win a chance of weekend passes to GameCon Canada, powered by TELUS. It's the largest gaming conference in Western Canada. 960, 960, name and location. Also, we're going to wrap up the show with more of your requests on the song, artist, band that only you're super embarrassed to tell your friends and family about, but you'll tell us on the South Trail Hyundai text line and we'll play the songs for you. 960, 960.
And Texas got lyrics.
Oh, and Texas gonna. And do you have an embarrassing song or artist that you want to play at like 8:45? Because I have one.
I'm not embarrassed by it, but
some might be embarrassed for it. Yeah.
For you?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, mine's very, very embarrassing and soft.
Mine is like super pop punk from my era.
All right, we'll do all that next. And it's the Speargrass Golf Show straight ahead. Mitch Fox going to join us. It's the Big Show. Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, live from Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. This selection courtesy of Kelsey and Renfrew. BG staying alive. Cannot sing it when I hear it. Like, if your foot doesn't tap, I don't care how old you are, when that baseline, you're dead inside. This is all on Aaron Rodgers, who's on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM, talking about how he's a Swiftie, how he likes the Taylor Swift album Folklore, and he was busting on all the songs. We're asking you most embarrassing song, artist, band that nobody in your life knows about that you want to say on the Sportsnet 960 South Trail Hyundai text line.
I have a serious question about the Swiftie fans. Do you guys love all of Taylor Swift's music? Do you like follow her from her country days?
Oh yeah, they
do. They follow her from her like 2008, Tim McGraw, Taylor Swift.
Tim McGraw.
The song Tim McGraw.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Do people like Teardrops on My Guitar? Like, do people still love it? Does she even play those songs at these shows
anymore? I think she does occasionally.
Because that's like, because she's had such a transcendent career that's been massive that's just changed from different genres. I'm just wondering if people still like her OG stuff.
We're also giving away a 4-pack of weekend passes to GameCon, Western Canada's largest gaming conference. Goes down at the BMO Center June 23rd to the 25th. Alex, what's the question you're asking our listeners on the South Trail Hyundai text line?
I want to know, the famous gaming character Mario had an original name, and I want to know what that name is.
Okay, if you get the answer right, we'll throw your name in the old hat, a.k.a. a randomizer. And you win weekend passes to GameCon Canada. But right now, it's time for the Speargrass Golf Show, and it's brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Canada's most friendly and relaxed golf experience, just 30 kilometers southeast of the city. Joining us on the line right now, PGA of Canada professional and Speargrass pro, Mitch Fox. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. I heard you were giving Alex some sass. What sass were you giving him there on the line before you jumped on?
I wasn't aware I was.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you were. Then we can hear what sign of sass you were giving him.
He must be a little sensitive this morning.
Maybe.
Hey, I was sassing you, George.
Okay.
Mitch.
Okay. Alex is always a little sensitive. Let's just be real here. But it's okay. It's okay. He is a soft, sensitive type. That's why we love him so much.
That's all right.
Yeah. Speaking of being insensitive, I don't even know if that's a transition, but when Michael Block says that when Michael Block, and again, everybody loved this story. Everybody was rooting for him. That AC out at the PGA Championship in the final round was incredible. But when he goes on a podcast and says, if I had Rory's length, I'd be the best player in the world. Come on, man. Like, what was your initial reaction when you heard that?
Yeah, it wasn't it probably wasn't the best thing to be saying for sure. I don't know if I would have even been going on any podcast this week and probably be getting ready to play at Colonial this week, but I guess he probably had a ton of media obligations, and I think on those podcasts, they get him talking a bit, and he probably regretted it saying that after, because I think if anybody had Rory's length, that would be a good first step to being a world-class player, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hot take.
Yeah, your PGA...
Getting that length is kind of tough, though.
Your PGA Canada Professional and Speargrass Pro, I want to ask you, Michael Block using the same irons, he has like these tailor-made preferred irons that are like 12 to 15 years old. Because he knows how to hit them. He knows how they feel. He knows how they're going to react. Is that something that maybe golfers out there, if you have a set of irons that are working for you, maybe not get a new set that could potentially change your game around a little bit? Like, when does it get to a point where you shouldn't buy new irons, Mitch, that you should be maybe sticking with the ones that are working for you?
Well, you are asking someone that does sell clubs for a living. So I would say you probably should get new irons.
Every year.
Yeah,
okay,
maybe
sure.
Like
I bet.
A year.
Yep.
But especially with irons, the technology doesn't obviously change a crazy amount to them. The thing that is surprising that he was able to use them for so long is the grooves usually wear out, but I guess he's a teacher, so he's not playing as much as like a PGA Tour pro. But I know before I switched, I play TaylorMade clubs and stuff now too, but before I switched, the irons I had before I worked at Speargrass, I had them for about 8 years as well. And so, but it was kind of a joke out here among everyone. A few of the irons would be pretty worn in. So that's usually why guys have to switch with pros. But yeah, you can use irons if you like them a lot. There's no need to change. With drivers and stuff, the technology tends to change a little faster. So they can have a little shorter shelf life than irons for sure.
I'm wondering if there's a certain piece of gear that you look at that's not a club that you think can improve kind of an average player's game, whether it is actual golf shoes or, you know, just using a better ball or something along those lines. Like, is there a piece of equipment that you use that you think can actually improve just an average golfer's game rather than, hey, switch out the clubs, although you should buy new irons every other year from Mitch, obviously?
I think there's probably, like, obviously... a lot of guys make the switch to hybrids instead of long irons. So that's kind of a common trend where guys will use the hybrids instead of a 3 or 4 iron just because it's easier to get in the air. Other than that, the main thing I see is a lot of amateurs probably don't set their golf bags up so that everything kind of complements each other. So there'll be big gaps between irons. And for example, most tour players, when they kind of set up their golf bag, they go get fit and they dial in all the yardages so they know exactly how far everything goes and there's proper spacing between each club. Some guys will have a club that goes 210, but they don't have another one that goes between, say, 200 and 250. So I think a lot of that kind of problems, but that's where getting fit and stuff really helps out. And that would be the reason to be doing that. So,
Mitch, I want to ask you about the golf ball. Where are you at with golf balls? Where are you at with recycled golf balls that people like to buy, like Canadian Tire or whatever?
Yeah.
Where are you at with the golf ball? Fill us in, because every time Maddie hits a specific brand of a golf ball, I just want to throw it in the lake.
I have a feeling there's a couple guys out here I kind of tease when they use a certain golf ball.
Yep.
I'm not about the refurbished golf balls. I think I've seen a few studies on them in the past that that have showed some bad results when they get you buy the like Pro V's from Walmart that have been probably sitting in a pond for about 2 years.
Right.
But if you use a golf, like I've used a golf ball for multiple rounds, I think playing a golf ball for the whole day or playing it for 2 rounds straight or whatever, you're not going to see any difference. But whenever it's sitting in the bottom of a pond for a couple of years, that kind of changes everything.
Or if it's like out in a field under a sheet of snow for an entire winter.
Yeah, exactly. That golf ball is probably not going to do exactly what you want it to do anymore. But yeah, the refurbished golf balls, who knows how consistent they are. But I think a good golf ball goes a long ways, though. I see people use just any golf ball and then they're asking why they can't spin it around the greens or anything. That's a good place to start.
if you're an amateur, like what? Because, again, if a ball is soft or it's got a distance ball, like, how does an amateur, especially a weekend hacker, determine what type of ball they should be using, Mitch?
I would say finding a golf ball that's well-rounded. So a lot of the golf balls are now, you don't really have to decide between a soft one or a far golf, like a distance golf ball. You can find a golf ball now where you'll spend a little more than the refurbished ones or the ones at Walmart, but you'd also don't have to break the bank and necessarily buy the top end ball. But you can I would find one that feels nice. Some people like it to feel a little softer. I personally like my golf ball to feel a little more firm, so even though I want it to still be able to spin. So you can I would find a golf ball that goes far, it's not too hard, something kind of right in the middle.
I have another silly gear question. I was talking to some buddies last weekend, and we brought up brush tees. Yeah. Remember brush tees? I was wondering if there was any other kind of silly fads that have come through golf, and you were like, man, this is just ridiculous, and couldn't wait for it to get out of the game. Kind of like brush tees.
Yeah, I think there's probably 10 different kinds of brush tees like that that will guarantee 5 to 10 yards if you switch over to a certain tee. I haven't tried it, so I guess I couldn't say for sure if it works, but it'd be hard for me to imagine a tee will give you 10 yards. but yeah, those are kind of weird. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
The stand-up putter, Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
The stand-up putter.
Yeah, it went to the chest.
Like,
oh, yeah.
When I see Adam Scott's highlights of winning the Masters with that stand-up putter, I'm like, I wish he never won the Masters, never to see that awful broom putter that he used.
He should have switched just for the last hole so that we wouldn't have to see that in 30 years or something.
Yeah, for the visuals,
I went to golf town the other day, and I think I seen there was a chipper that has made a comeback. But that probably helps. That's like an iron that's kind of a putter and an iron that people used to chip around the green.
Yeah.
That used to be popular when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember seeing those around.
I remember. Okay, so just right around the green, where are you at with using a hybrid? Because I see like some guys be out there using a hybrid club around the green. Where are you at with hitting that thing?
I think it's great. Yeah, I'm all for getting it as close to the hole as possible, as easy as possible. If you're not a very good chipper, especially some guys, when you get into those tight lies around the greens, you can see the grass will lay against you, or like you'll hear them say on TV, they're chipping into the grain or whatever. When you get lies like that, the hybrid's a dream. I've played with tour players and stuff that'll use hybrids just because it's usually the guys, admittedly, that aren't the best around the greens that will be using the hybrid, but you do whatever you can to get the ball in the hole.
Speaking of doing whatever you can to get the ball in the hole, where are you at on putting out of bunkers if it's available? Because George saw that for the first time. What was that, 2 weekends ago?
Yeah.
Bender did it when we were playing out east.
And he hit it close.
He was good,
You guys have quite the group going that you guys have been playing with these days, I think.
Yeah, it's a mishmash for sure.
I wouldn't suggest it, I guess, maybe, but I know the bunkers we have here at Speargrass, I don't think there's many options to be putting out of them. They usually have a lip, but I guess it goes back to the whole thing. If it works better than what you were doing before, I'm all for it. The goal is to shoot a low score, so that's the only goal at the end of the day, I guess.
Love it. What's going on at Speargrass this weekend? I'm sure weather looks good for golf.
Yeah, we're open business as usual. Should be a good day, or good weekend, sorry. Weather looks really good, as you're saying. And yeah, we have a few tee times open, but they're filling up fast, like we usually do on the weekends. So if you're looking to play this weekend, I would call very soon.
Maddie and I are potentially looking to play next week if you're available, Mitch. We get together.
I am around next week, so I'll show you guys how to putt out of some bunkers, maybe. And
we'll get the old chipper out.
Use your chipper.
Get some brush tees and some chippers.
Use your waterlogged Pro V1 off the tee.
Yeah. I think I have a few golf balls I can lend to you guys so that we don't have to use the refurbished Walmart one.
All right, awesome. Sounds good. Mitch Fox.
Figure that out.
For sure. Mitch Fox, PGA of Canada Professional and Speargrass Pro. Mitch, terrific stuff. Thanks for this.
Perfect. Thanks for having me on, guys.
The Speargrass Golf Show is brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, Canada's most friendly and relaxed golf experience, just 30 kilometers southeast of the city. Real quick, too, I talked about this. There's a $14 million Calgary estate that comes with a private 9-hole golf course.
Which would be really neat.
Yeah. It's insane. The 12,000 square foot spread isn't short on amenities. There's 7 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, multiple lounges, a beer tap in the kitchen, and a massive game room with 2 pinball machines and a full spa.
Can you say where it is?
No, but it looks ridiculously nice.
Hmm.
I just, yeah, it's $14 million.
Well, lovely. Get right on that.
Yeah.
We'll check the couch cushions.
Can I write like a big novelty check? Will they take that? Just like in the movie Semi-Pro, will they cash it for $14 million?
It would work.
Just write the $14 million check.
Write it in crayon.
Yeah. Again, we should go visit Mitch next week at Speargrass, Matty.
Yeah. Twist my arm.
Yeah. You and I just weaseling our way into golf like a couple snakes. You got an answer? We got a winner for the GameCon tickets.
Yeah. Let me just throw it in the randomizer here.
No, throw it in the randomizer. We've been giving away tickets all week to GameCon Canada, powered by TELUS. It's the largest gaming conference in Western Canada. Play hundreds of free video games and board games from studios that have traveled around the world to showcase right here in Calgary. It'll happen at the BMO Center June 23rd to the 25th. More info at sportsnet.ca/960. Who's our winner today? What was the answer, Alex, to your question?
The answer, as Drake put it, is Jumpman.
Jumpman.
Okay. The original name for Mario's name was Jumpman. Who do you got as a winner today?
The winner is Tim S. in South Calgary.
Congratulations, Tim S. in Calgary. You have won weekend passes to GameCon Canada. Got a couple minutes to go here. Played a clip in the 6 o'clock hour, and you can always go back and listen on the podcast.
Google, Apple. Spotify, Amazon, yep. Apple.
Great job. We've been doing that, and Aaron Rodgers was on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Sirius XM yesterday and talked about how he's a Swiftie, how he's a big Taylor Swift fan, loves the album Folklore. And we asked you, what's your most embarrassing song, album, artist, group that you listen to?
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of great ones today. We've also had a lot of requests for Texty McTexterson.
A lot.
To sing some songs. Also, we also have sappy songs that we are embarrassed to do. This one's very embarrassing for me, but I'm still going to play it because it's very soft.
Yeah.
We all have this in our lives at one point.
Yeah.
You got it ready, Alex?
Yes, sir.
This is hit the beginning of it, Alex. Now, this is again by Janet Jackson. If this song doesn't tug at your heartstrings, I don't know what will. And the dude, I think from CSI, is in the video too. This is a great jam, and I'm not embarrassed to say that this is a song that really gets to me when it's on.
Yeah,
yeah,
gets right in the heartstrings.
You know, it's about seeing your long lost ex, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm still into my ex.
Oh.
We all have that, I think, in our lives to a lesser extent.
Yeah, sure. The one that got away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a banger. Do you have a sensitive one that you gave to Alex?
I don't have a... I wouldn't say it's sensitive. I think
this is sensitive.
I think it's an absolute banger, but yeah, I can play mine right here. It's...
Whoa. It's loud.
I'm gonna make it bend and break.
Say a prayer, but let the good time roll. In case you doesn't show. Good time to roll.
Yeah, this is mine.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think this is particularly embarrassing.
Like, when I was a kid, like, if you like Fall Out Boy, you were like, it's, you know, kind of up and down.
And then one more song.
So look, yeah, that's the spot.
We're trying to find the...
I'm just using my hand without... I feel like I'm conducting Alex. I'm just like up and down.
And crescendo.
Patrick, do you have one or no? Your embarrassing song or no? Or you're too busy just doing texty stuff?
Well, yeah, we're trying to figure out texty, but I don't have the song. But anything from the Grease soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, anything from Grease. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Again, that's another thing where they wrote songs just specifically for the movie.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I think when you get John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John that can actually sing, you're great.
Yeah, it's incredible.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well done,
chills.
Alex. Now, was that you?
Yeah, that was Matty Rose.
Yeah. The Frankie Valli Grease, too.
Oh, yeah.
Can you pull that up, Alex?
Frankie Grease
Valli? By Frankie Valli. Yeah.
Grease is the word.
Yeah. That's a banger too.
Oh, yeah.
Give me one second.
Because I need a man. I got it here, Maddie.
All right, play it.
I need 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie's got it. There we go.
See, again, I like this. And it's on, you're like, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By yourself in a car, tapping your foot away.
What a time.
Oh, yeah. Do you got stuff for Texty to sing along? Did we figure this out technically?
Can you do it, Alex? You're just going to play the lyrics.
I think it's just too tricky to get this all coordinated.
What do you mean?
Do it as hack as we can. Can we please just...
Yeah, because
I want to hear it back.
Okay, well let me explain what I wanted to do. I wanted Texty. Don't put that song down. How dare you?
That was me.
Don't do it. I wanted Texty to do the lyrics, but I also wanted the song like karaoke version in the background, so just Texty singing it. So I don't. Can we do that? All right, let's try it. Let's try it here, Patrick, Alex. So pull down Frankie Valli. Let's hear Texty McTexterson. Do some lyrics. You want to? We have Staying Alive here by Texty?
Yeah.
Do you want to cue me when I should play the lyrics here?
You could probably just hit whenever.
Whether you're a brother or whether you're a mother, you're staying alive. Staying alive, feel the city breaking and everybody shaking, and we're staying alive. Staying alive, hot, 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 hot. Staying alive. Staying alive, hot, 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 hot. Staying alive, oh, when you walk.
You know, we should have done too. Now, again, these things. We should have had our Irish friend Sean do some U2.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We didn't.
Well, the streets have no name.
That's pretty good. You got another one too that we can do here with Texty? What do you got here, Alex? Oh, Carly Rae Jepsen. We did this earlier.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Do I need to wait for the chorus?
Yeah, you got to wait for the chorus.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And again, this was requested earlier on, too.
Yeah, Texty McTexterson gives his shot at it.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Hey, I just met you, and then...
Oh,
yeah.
I jumped the gun.
But you got to kind of fast forward that part.
Here we go.
Like, we should have been more prepared for this.
Crazy.
Hey, I just met you.
Yeah, here we go.
And this is crazy, but here's my number. So call me. Maybe it's hard to look right at you, baby, but here's my number. So call me. Maybe, hey... I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me, maybe, and all the other boys try to chase me, but here's my number, so call me, maybe.
Here's my number, take it, here it is.
That doesn't sound creepy at all.
That was good.
Doesn't sound creepy at all.
No, not at all.
We got one more?
You can do Firework or I Feel Like a Woman.
Your call, George.
Let's do Firework. What version is this doing?
It's just karaoke.
It's a karaoke version.
I know.
Super hack, yeah.
You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show em what you're worth. Make em go, oh, 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 as you shoot across the sky, baby. You're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. Make em go, oh, 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 you're gonna leave em all in awe, awe, awe.
That's a great way to end the week. What do you got coming up at Mucho Big Show, Patrick?
We got Doug Plagans, Florida Panthers play-by-play. How's the temperature down at Sunrise right now?
Yeah,
it's
hot.
Hot.
Have some fireworks or what? Am I right?
Yeah. Hey. Thanks to all your texts. Great job as usual this week. Have a terrific weekend. That's it for us. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the patios. We'll talk to you Monday. Bye.
See ya, buds. Bye.